He calls himself the Toy Scout, America's Toy Scout. Joel McGee is the guy who comes to, say, Chicago, and he tells you what some of those old toys that you have, and some of them, surprising to me, are not all that old, are worth. Let's spend a couple of minutes with Joel. Hey, Joel, it's John Williams. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a great day.
Where are you today? Are you in the Chicago area?
Not yet. I'm still in Sioux City, Iowa today.
Is that where you operate out of?
Yep. We have our warehouse here, and it's always got crazy stuff in it. It's never ending. It's like a river that flows full of toys.
Is that it? So you specifically collect, or you're kind of a toy broker almost, it sounds like, huh?
Yeah. You know, I started out by myself. I was in Sioux City, Iowa all those years ago, 30 plus to be exact. And I was at a flea market, and I didn't want to be there. A bunch of furniture and clothing and stuff. But right. All of a sudden, across the way, my G.I. Joe lunchbox was sitting on a table, or at least one that looked just like mine. And I ran over there, and I picked it up. And I'm like, all of a sudden, it was like a film camera was going off in my mind. All these memories of me at Crescent Park Elementary, and I could see the faces of all my friends. And, you know, back in those days, we ate in the gymnasiums, and they threw tables down, you know, during lunch, and then put them back up again and started playing basketball.
Yeah, sure. I can relate a little bit to that. My childhood memory of toys at school would have been Hot Wheel cars and Matchbox cars, and taking them to school and trading them and talking about them and racing them down the side of a table. Or we didn't have time to set up track, but I sure had a lot of Hot Wheel tracks. And by the way, thanks for asking. Oh. I'll give you my opinion about the Hot Wheel cars of today. They're not made as well as they used to be.
Not even close. In fact, I got a great Hot Wheel story. My grandma bought me a Hot Wheels back in the day with that orange track. And
yep.
And the first thing I did was I made a little ramp, well, probably a little bigger than I should have. I thought it'd be so cool to jump my car across the room into a Target. So I grabbed Grandma's glass bowl, and I let the car down. And, man, that was better than Evel Knievel. I hit it dead center on. I made that landing so well that her glass bowl went into about 20 pieces.
Well, the cars
and
were
man,
metal.
Was she, oh,
the cars
she
were
so
more
mad.
Metal then, too. They were heavier.
They were missiles.
they kind of were. So, all right. So then over the years, you've grown to appreciate and collect. And what do you do when you come to town, Joel? What's your thing?
Well, what I do is I set up in different hotels and stuff around there, and a lot of different spots so people can, you know, it can be close to everybody. And, you know, what I do is I just tell people to bring their stuff in, clean out their attics and closets. Now, a couple of questions that I always get asked is, how old do the toys have to be? And here's what happens. When most people turn about 40-ish, all of a sudden this little nostalgia gene kicks in our heads, and we're not exactly sure why. Maybe it's because we're watching our kids play with their toys and it brings back memories, but that seems to be the age where all of a sudden people want their stuff back, and maybe it's just to take a step back in time and you know, remember all the stuff that we used to play with. And so that now brings us to the 1980s, because those kids are, quote, now about 40-ish. We're not quite to the 90s or the 2000s because those kids are a little too young, but it could be the 80s, it could be the 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, and anything back there. And what is it? Well, it could be Hot Wheels, it could be trains, it could be Cowboy Western, Nintendo video games, and all kinds of video games are extremely hot right now. Superhero comic books are exploding, and baseball cards, and of course Hot Wheels. You can't ever forget Hot Wheels. And for the girls, it's dolls, of course. And the king of all dolls, I guess the king of the box office, is Barbie. So that's our most popular dolls for the girls, because I don't think she's ever going away. She's like a perpetual collectible.
Yeah.
But, you know, it kind of started, I was on a mission to collect all my toys when I was a kid. And I went to, my mom used to take pictures of us with all of our little toys during Christmas and our birthdays. And so I could actually go back to those albums and see my toys. And I started showing up at all kinds of flea markets and antique malls and auctions. And at some point, people started saying, hey, you're the toy guy. You must be the the toy guy that, can you help me out? And so all of a sudden I'm taking people's names and numbers, and I was still the toy guy at that point in time, but I was doing an interview at a TV station in Denver many years ago, and the interviewee said, you know, well, you're scouting the whole country for toys. You must be the toy scout. And I'm like, you know what?
That's stuck.
As of today, I am the toy scout.
So then you, all right. So then you, and I see where you're going to be. It's in my old neighborhood. You're going to be at Larkin on Larkin Avenue, which is the main one of the main streets in Joliet, at the Clarion Hotel on Saturday. Before that, Friday, you're going to be in Aurora at the Hampton Inn and Suites, and Wednesday and Thursday of this week, you're going to be in Naperville at the Courtyard by Marriott Naperville. So show up with your best toys. And then you'll give them an estimate of its value. Will you actually be buying them at these events, Joel?
No, our whole goal is to buy, and we're buying for people that are obviously wanting to collect. And you know, we're the fixer, I guess. You know, a lot of times people bring in toys, and we expect them to be played with and beat up, and we restore them. Of course, the nicer the toy is, the more value it's worth. But I personally fix old toy boxes. I've got another person that fixes battery operated toys that break. I've got another person that fixes Barbie dolls and puts all the outfits together. So there's a lot of restoration. In fact, that point being said, I always get phone calls from people, do you buy parts and pieces? And I'm like, yes, yes, absolutely, because there's tons of parts that I need. So bring them.
Okay. How about this? 312-981-7200. You have a question. You're a buyer or a seller. Joel McGee, America's Toy Scout, is on the line. 312-981-7200. Tell us what you've got in the attic or the basement. How good is it and what's it worth? Joel McGee's on the line. He's America's Toy Scout. He's coming to the Chicago area Wednesday through Saturday, and he'll ask you to bring your toys in, and he'll tell you what they're worth, and he'll give you a cash offer for them. Joel, can you take some calls?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to.
All right, let's start with Rich. You're on WGN Radio. Rich, what do you got?
So I had a Johnny Lightning set when I was a kid, and none of my friends ever had it, and I've never run across anybody. I wonder if Joel's ever seen one or ran across one.
Yeah, Johnny Lightning was basically, they kind of were patterned after Hot Wheel cars, and they were really popular. I remember the Johnny Lightning 500 set. That had to be the biggest box I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, sure.
That thing was gigantic.
Those were the rivals to the Hot Wheels. The Hot Wheels were so successful, and those came along. Do you have some of those old cars, Rich?
No, I don't. And I remember they came with two helmets. You wore a helmet, too, when you played with the cars.
You did. Yes, you had to protect yourself from those flying cars breaking those glass bowls of grandma's.
It's a nice memory, Rich. Thank you for the call. Mike, you're on WGN. Mike, what have you got?
I have a Rock'em Sock'em robot I received like 50 years ago for my birthday. Me and my sister started playing it, and things got out of hand. And my dad took it away from us and put it up in the attic, and I never seen it again.
Is it still there, do you think? Or can you find it?
I'm pretty sure it's still up there, yeah. So it only got played one time, and then, I said, my father took it away because we got a little crazy with it.
What's your thought about that, Joel?
Yeah, Rock'em Sock'em robots, they really stood the test of time. They actually still make them today, believe it or not. And, you know, you can knock the other person's block off, so they say. Very, very cool. The value of those rises if a lot of times the rings posts would get broken on those because they were the weakest part of the toy. So if the ring posts are good, it's especially collectible.
So does that make, what is it, $20, $200, $20,000?
If the ring posts are fine, you're talking right about $100. And if you have the box and the instructions, it brings it past 200, maybe even 250. So it goes up accordingly.
Ruth, you're on WGN. What have you got, Ruth? You're on the air.
I have some metal airplanes I inherited. I think they're from the early 40s, toy airplanes. And I think there's also a metal gas station. And I'm wondering what they might be worth.
The metal gas stations are those. Well, you could run your Hot Wheels with those gas stations. Those are usually the perfect size for Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
And they called that tin litho because it looked so realistic, what they could print on the sides of those. So, yes, very collectible. If it's a gas station, you know, the value depends on the accessories it has. If you've got the gas pumps and all the little accessories, those easily can go for $150. And then the airplanes, you know, especially from the 30s and 40s, you know, that's really getting to where you didn't have nearly as much made back in the day, especially during the 40s because of the war. So, yeah, planes are very collectible. There's all kinds of, you know, again, there's something for everybody. Like, some people will collect just planes. Other people will just collect trucks. Other people will collect just cars. So it's a whole gamut all right, across the board.
Well, good luck to you on that, Ruth. Maybe you should swing by. Do you want any Happy Meal toys or Beanie Babies?
Beanie Babies and Happy Meal toys, please don't bring them.
That's a no.
Those are the two number one questions, the Cabbage Patch Kids, too.
You don't want a Cabbage Patch doll? There's not much of a market for that?
Those were what I call when America went psycho for those things. They were paying ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they just dropped like a rock, and they've been in oblivion ever since. I get thousands of people want to sell Beanie Babies and Happy Meal toys. And I would say the number is less than very few. I can't think of a single person that's wanted to buy them in the last 30 years.
What about Tonka trucks? What about Tonka trucks?
Oh, those are great. Yes, Tonkas. People love Tonkas. I remember I had my Tonkas in the backyard, and we built a lot of roads in the backyard in our place with the sand and dirt. And you know, you had your backhoes and your trucks, but they made all kinds of different ones. You could have a pet truck and a fire truck, and it was all over the board. Yes.
Made it, but I had one that the garden hose hooked up to the side. It was a fire truck, and then
you
could actually squirt water out, and then you and your friends were encouraged to play with matches and start fires and then put them out with your Tonka fire truck.
Of course, yeah. What a great mix. Yeah, Tonka made those, and Buddy L made those. Texaco made those, too. So there was, once one person kind of got the idea to hook the hose to the fire truck, then everybody else kind of jumped on
board. Those were made out of metal, so they rusted, they chipped. But if I had a good condition Tonka truck, like, would that be something you'd pay for?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those nice conditioned, $50 to $100 easily.
Okay, fine. I'm sure you hear that expression a lot. More of your phone calls here, 312-981-7200. Where do we go next, Producer Pete? Maybe, what about this one? Andrew, you're on WGN. What's the toy?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I have a Tudor vibrating football game.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Yep. I remember those. We played with those when we were kids. Those ball players, we thought we were so smart. We'd line those babies up. And when he'd get a touchdown, we thought we were just experts. But then all of a sudden, we'd line them up exactly the same way for the next play, and they'd go the opposite direction.
Yeah, so, they'd run into the sideline, you idiots. Yeah. So if that's in good shape, what do you think?
Those are collectible. They did make a lot of those for decades. They started making those in the 1930s and made them all the way up through the 70s. So there is a lot of them out there. They're collectible. They don't bring a lot, probably about $20, but only because they made so many for so many decades on that one, but still collectible.
I have a Miss Pac-Man cocktail table. Any interest in that, Joel?
That probably is an actual video game that somebody's talking about, and we would be able to buy that one because it would fit in our truck, but we're not able to buy the full upright ones. But when you say Miss Pac-Man, video games are hot right now, which it could be anything. I mean, it could be – they made literally thousands of different video game titles, and right about 2 years ago, I couldn't even give away a video game cartridge. And now all of a sudden, everybody wants them. But then all of a sudden, I thought, uh-oh, wait a minute. They all turned about 40, and that's exactly what happened. So it's almost like a little switch went off in everybody's head across the country. And same thing with comic books. Oh, my gosh. You know, I just had somebody bring me up a whole pile of Spider-Man and Batman comic books actually last week. He had 400 of them, and he was literally – he called me up on the phone and he says, hey, are you interested in old comic books? And I said, yeah. He says, well, if you're not, I'm just going to throw them away. And I go, no, please come out. Don't throw them away. And he came out a couple hours later and he got $4,200 for those comic books he was going to throw away. Can you imagine that?
A couple more calls. Roberta, you're on WGN. Your question is what? You're on the air.
We have five American Girl dolls, one of the original ones, Molly with the glasses. One was an Indian one, and my daughters, we bought them for all our grandchildren. Now they're all older. Are they worth anything now? Because they still sell them.
Well, that's a good question. They're a little new for us, but extremely popular. I call those dolls for the future generation that hasn't quite turned 40 yet. So my answer to that is going to be not yet, but it will be for sure in the future because American Girl, as you say, is still being made and extremely popular. So although it's not quite old enough for us, it's definitely something that will go up in the future.
Okay, if I want to check your stuff out, where do I go, Joel? What do you need me to do?
All you need to do is we're going to be on Wednesday, May 8th and Thursday, May 9th. We're going to be at the Courtyard Marriott in Chicago, Naperville, and that's at 1155 East Deal Road. And we're going to be Friday the 10th. We're going to be at the Hampton Inn and Suites in Aurora, which is at 2423 Bushwood Drive. And Saturday the 11th, we're going to be at the Clarion Hotel and Convention Center in Joliet at 41 South Larkin Avenue. Now, I know what you're saying. How could I remember all that? So go to toyscout.com, and we'll have it all posted there. Again, it's toyscout.com, and we've got all that information, the dates and times, and so that way you can easily write it down.
Joel McGee's coming to town. Nice to talk to you, Joel. Good luck to you, and good luck to our listeners.
Thanks a lot. It's always a lot of fun.